My name is Kayla Spelling. I'm a Kentucky girl with wild hair and green eyes who's not just a photographer and videographer, but a midnight designer too. I'm a visual storyteller with a creative spirit that knows no bounds. As a creative junkie and Aquarian sun, my love for all things creative runs deep. Being a visual storyteller for over a decade has allowed me to work with some seriously impressive clients across all spectrums, fueling my desire to learn and explore how people experience the world. What do they have in common? They all live and breathe their passions. So, inspired by their experiences, I launched a podcast to hear theirs and other stories on how they broke the 9-to-5 mold and pursued their true purpose in life. My goal is to empower listeners with knowledge and inspire them to live their most authentic and fulfilling life by following their passions. Join me on a journey where we'll explore spiritualism, consciousness, writing, culinary arts, tattooing, music, travel, media, and so much more. As an Aquarius, I know that I'm full of surprises, but one thing's for sure, we're in for a crazy journey into this world of creative junk. Hello there, fellow creative junkies. Get ready to be inspired as we embark on a magical journey through some seriously extraordinary individuals who are following their passions. Today's episode takes me down memory lane as I sit and have a chat with my dear friend, Ania Dunkley, whom I met during my time in Florence, Italy, way back in 2013. Yep, I actually lived in Florence for a whole year after college, working for a study abroad institute. It was an incredible experience, not just because I was surrounded by the most stunning Renaissance landscapes of Italy, but also because I had the pleasure of meeting incredible people like Ania. We were all on a quest to discover ourselves, explore our creativity, and live life with curiosity and passion. Those memories still bring a smile to my face, and Ania played a big part in them. So naturally, I had to have her on the show, and guess what? She's an extraordinary jewelry designer with an amazing story about stumbling upon her passion and finding herself in Florence, Italy, learning the art of jewelry making. Now, let me tell you a little bit more about Ania. She hails from New York, but currently calls Los Angeles home. By day, she works in employee relations for a nonprofit, but by night and on the weekends, she indulges in her love for jewelry making. Ania holds a master's in fine arts with a focus on contemporary jewelry design from the renowned Alchimia Contemporary Jewelry School in Florence, where she studied for an impressive 4 years. While she's currently in the process of creating her next collection, Ania hopes to find a vibrant jewelry community in Los Angeles this year to bring her designs to life. She still travels to Florence twice a year to reconnect with her jewelry-making roots. If you're curious to see some of Ania's incredible work, you can check it out at, bear with me, Galerie Marzay in Nijmegen, Netherlands, and in the book New Bracelets, 400 Contemporary Jewelry Designs by Nicholas Estrada. Whew! I don't know if I got those names right, but you can at least look it up and find some of this. Now, I have to give you a heads up. There might be a bit of background noise during this interview, but trust me, it's worth it. You might even catch some awesome tunes that you recognize, but don't worry. Ania's words are truly important and inspiring, and you'll be able to hear her loud and clear. All right, enough with the formalities. Let's dive right into my conversation with the fabulous Ania Dunkley. To get us kicked off, again, thank you so much for hopping in and doing this. Just wanted to tell you that, so first of all, to let listeners know, we met, which I can't believe it's been 10 years.
I know. Time is flying.
What? Oh my God.
It's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 10 years ago, I took a job working in Florence, Italy, and through a friend at the university, I happened to meet you. Mm-hmm. And I just... It was only a year, but it was just such a great, I have a lot of really great memories, especially with you in them, with like us going to the beach,
yes.
You helping me all the time with like random creative things I'm doing, like a photo shoot or
yes.
Anything like that. And the why I wanted to talk with you and have you here, because even then I recognized just how special of an individual you were.
Oh, thank
just
you.
yeah, just hearing your story, what you're going to talk about, you know, already like pursuing one part of your life for a while and then really realizing that that wasn't authentic really to you and not true to yourself, and being cognizant of that and making that change for yourself and exploring that and then finding what you're truly passionate about, even at that time, was really inspiring. And it always stuck with me to know that I should always, from here, from my heart, let that guide me with what is it that fuels my passion and fuel my fire. That's how to live, and that's how to work too, you know?
So
I'm sorry to ramble on, but I just wanted to put that out there because you're just very inspiring.
Yeah. Thank you. No, I mean, listen, that was a really special time. That year was a really special time also for me because I was pretty new. What year was that?
2013.
Yeah. So that was like the first year that I arrived in Florence as well. And I was at a really strange place in my life because, like you said, I you know, I'm a lawyer and I was practicing law for many years up until that point and had just really depleted all of the things that you really need to, you know, be happy, to feel fulfilled in your work, in your life. And I was just like at a crossroads in my life prior to moving to Italy. And Italy kind of came, it's interesting because I always wanted to go and experience Italy and live there. But I had never connected doing that with a passion or with something that I was interested in. I just thought, yeah, it'd be great to go and live here. And so when the opportunity presented itself for me to study jewelry design there, I thought, this is it, right? This is magic. This is that sweet spot. This is maybe what I was looking for and had not even realized up until that point. And certainly how I fell into just the whole idea of the creative side of my life, I just kind of stumbled upon. But in intentional ways, but it was still a surprise, if that makes sense. I didn't go out looking to, oh, let me figure out where I want to pursue my creative energies. I just started doing the things that I loved. And at that time, it was really escaping my job as an attorney. I was working at a pretty big law firm and was like, found myself in my office one day just crying with the door closed and realizing how unfulfilled and, you know, just generally unhappy. I never like to use the word depressed because I know that a lot of people really suffer with depression, and I never want to minimize it by saying, oh, I was depressed at that point. I mean, certainly there were aspects of it that really felt that way, but I knew that I could get myself out of it. I just had to figure out new opportunities for myself. And I started just exploring through travel because that was something that I was passionate about. And one thing led to another in South America, and I, you know, found this pink tourmaline stone, and I said, well, now I have to figure out how to put it in a proper setting because they had put it in a really bad setting and the stone fell out immediately. So I made a point of finding someone to help me set this stone properly. And I found this woman, beautiful woman, Fabiana Gadano, who is a contemporary jewelry artist based in Argentina and Buenos Aires. And I was in Buenos Aires at the time, and I worked with Fabiana in her studio for a couple of weeks and made this ring. And I loved every single minute of my time in her studio. Like, I would show up early in the morning and just work until she was like, it's time for you to go. And I just loved it so much. She started sharing resources with me on how to continue doing this thing that I really fell in love with. And it wasn't just jewelry making. A lot of people think, oh, you make jewelry, so you get beads and you string beads together and make, you know, little dangly things. And no, this is like real, like melting down alloys, taking silver, adding like real jewelry making. And I loved every minute of it. So through her shared resources, I stumbled upon a jewelry school in Italy and thought, oh, well, put two and two together,
great,
together, travel, Italy, and jewelry, here I am. I am all about it. And at first, I actually really just thought it was just going to be a year, right? And I would turn, I would return to my old life because I had invested all this time in my, you know, learning how to become a lawyer and had spent so many years doing all those things related to law. So I just really thought that this was going to be more like a sabbatical. I met you. I met so many beautiful people who were, we were kind of all there for similar reasons for some way, like just that experience and just wanting to explore our creativity a little bit more. And Florence was really just such the perfect place for that, that it really felt magical. And listen, 1 year led to another, and I really just returned. I officially returned to the States last year. I had not planned on being there that long. But as many people do, they find love. They find, you know, they just get so connected to the quality of life and just the ability to continue pursuing what made me happy. And that at the time was making jewelry. It still makes me happy, but I have to find a space for that here back in the States. Life is very different, as you know. Just finding opportunities to explore art and all of the things. And Florence was just like one of the best experiences of my life. So
absolutely. And can you, so sorry, hold on. I had a thought and then it literally went
that's my life every day.
Seriously, I'm like, come on, what was that?
Shit. Right.
Well, just definitely, I 1000% agree with you about it. I just don't believe in coincidences. I totally believe in synchronicities. And I definitely feel like we were all there at the same moment, like you were saying, for kind of the same reason. All of us, it was like Nikki was an aspiring author and, you know, Maria was aspiring, you know, baker and things like that. It was like everybody was actively pursuing what they love to do. And you're so right. Florence was just so, I mean, it's the heart of the Renaissance, right? Yes, and you feel that now, even though that was like, you know, centuries ago, you still feel it in that
city.
Still
the same. Mm-hmm. It's still the same place.
Yeah,
and that's what I really love about it. Even now, I mean, I still go back. My partner is still there. So I do go back twice a year. And it really is, nothing changes. I'm from New York City. And New York is completely different than when I grew up there. It's constantly changing. Everything, even LA, I'm back in LA right now. And I've lived here before. And LA is a completely different city. But whenever I go to Florence, it's always the same.
Yeah.
It never changes.
Yeah.
Well, I love
it. They're definitely,
they're
definitely not going to be tearing down like any roads. You know what I mean? No. Like they're just going to keep it.
It's
going to
stay exactly the way that it's been for all of the years. Yes, absolutely.
Well, and when you were talking to, I thought it was really interesting how like with jewelry making, like that wasn't even a thing for you, like in your brain, but it's just like, again, synchronicities, right? It's like you found this beautiful stone and then you're like, well, crap, it's like falling out of its fastening. How do I fix this? And it was just like one thing led to another. And then suddenly you're like, whoop, here we are. Here's my passion.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I have artists in my family. So as a child, I would explore more with clay as a medium. I really loved creating models and clay. And my aunt, who's an artist, and at the time was an art director for a university in the States, was really trying to push me to make these little clay things. And I was like, no, I don't want to do it. Like when somebody's pushing you to do something, it's like, no, leave me alone. And so I just never really thought about pursuing art seriously and still hadn't, even at the moment that I went to Italy, it wasn't like a real thought, but that this is something that I will actually do. I just knew that I enjoyed it and that I wanted to explore it a little more. And it just opened up so many opportunities and just meeting all of these people from all over the world who created jewelry or who were somehow connected to art and jewelry. And And it was just also the idea that jewelry in my mind is just like creating small little sculptures, but in metal. And so in many ways, I felt like I was picking up on that thing that I loved to do as a kid, like creating these little pieces, but using a different material. And so that, you know, I made that connection later on in life, like, wow, this is actually really like small pieces of art. And I've always loved working in small scale pieces of art. So yeah, it ended up making sense. You know, you make these connections, sometimes they come later in life.
Well, hello there. I know this convo is super interesting, but let's take a quick break. Here's a special message from our awesome sponsor. Experience pure magic and rejuvenation with Wicked Obscura, a women-owned apothecary and candle shop in Covington, Kentucky. As one of the owners of this company, I can assure you that we believe in the power of nature and spiritual well-being, which we infuse in every handmade item that we offer. Our candle selection, made of coconut soy and infused with herbs and crystals, give off an unforgettable scent while promoting a peaceful atmosphere. With wood wicks and 100% safe ingredients, our candles provide a touch of magic in every home. Don't miss out on this special offer. Use code CREATIVELYWICKED at checkout to snag 15% off your next purchase and experience the true essence and light of Wicked Obscura. Start shopping now at wickedobscura.com. Use code CREATIVELYWICKED at checkout to snag that 15% off. Talking a little bit about your process in regards to doing your craft and making jewelry, one of the things I thought was interesting when I was reading over, I tend to send my, just to let the listeners know, I send my people that I'm interviewing the questions ahead of time. And so sometimes they go ahead and like fill them out to kind of give me some feedback. And one of the things that I really thought was interesting that you said was like, yes, it's creative, but there's also like, it's like methodical. There's like a method and almost like science mixed with, yes, it's kind of like alchemy in my brain. Yeah. I would love to kind of hear more about that.
Yeah. So that's also really an interesting aspect of it. I think what really draws me to jewelry making is that it's different from a lot of other mediums in terms of visual art, because it does require math, which has never been my strong suit, but it's definitely something you need to understand. Dimension, geometry, just how things work, because even though it is a piece of art, it's very mechanical in a lot of ways, and how things kind of fit together, and how to size things, especially when you're adding elements to it, like stones, for example. And also just creating the alloys that you want, whether you're using gold or silver, just understanding, you know, what the percentage is, what that alloy looks like. Are you using copper? Are you using some other type of metal to create that final product? So there are so many other aspects to it. You don't just sit down and make a piece of jewelry. You have to actually really plan it out. And even with all of the planning, sometimes you don't end up creating that thing that you thought you were going to create. And that could, that's probably true for a lot of artists. Like, you have a vision in your head, and when you first attempt it, it doesn't look the way you think it should look in your head. And right. So it's a lot of kind of going back and understanding maybe, you know, where you need to make changes. And with jewelry, sometimes those changes are more technical in nature. And so, it is, it's a process that requires me to use a lot of different aspects of my brain, which I really love, that part about it. And so, it's just, it's always trying to figure out how scale and dimension, right? A lot of things inspire you. Nature may inspire you. Well, how do you create that, idea or that form into metal? Because metal is not, you know, a malleable, easy thing to manipulate and just transfer. It's not clay. Like, with clay, you could just make anything in a few minutes, right? And voila, there it is. And metal just doesn't work that way. So understanding all the tools that you need to get something to look a certain way, the effects, the the texture of it in the end. What do you want that to look like? And sometimes it forces you to think outside of the box. Everybody has their own way. I was teaching jewelry for a while, even in Florence, after I finished my studies there. But the idea of exploring different materials is also a way to understand how to achieve different effects to something that maybe you've never seen before. And with jewelry, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Like, there's more than one way to, like, achieve a certain look or a certain goal. And certainly if you have five different jewelers sitting at the table with one project, you'll have 10 different ways to achieve that, because everybody has a couple of different ideas on how to do something. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a lot of the reason why I love it so much, because there are so many angles to it.
For sure.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so what has influenced your art specifically over the years? And, like, has there been, like, a specific focus with your jewelry making?
So that's very interesting. When I stumbled into it, I still don't wear jewelry. You know, right now I just put on a few rings just because I made them, and I thought maybe she might want to see something I made. But I rarely wear jewelry.
That's hilarious.
I love it. I just don't really wear it. So in my mind, it was always just kind of like, you know, in the beginning, I think you have an idea of what you think you like. And I think as you go through and explore materials more, that changes. So I was really, like, into silver, like basic shapes, these kind of things. And then as I learned more about jewelry and materials and everything, and also as I got older, these things change what you prioritize, I think,
sure,
in terms of aesthetics. So for me, I learned that I really love gold now. And before, I didn't like gold, you know, like, just in terms of color. Yeah. I just thought, oh, that doesn't appeal to me at all. And now I love it so much. And I don't like silver. I don't know. I mean, I just don't have the same appreciation for it anymore. And then when I start thinking of aesthetically, what does it look like? I think initially I started with more organic ideas in mind. And so it was kind of, and actually the first ring that I created, I wish I would have brought that with me. That would have been smart. I don't even know where it is right now, but it was definitely a more organic look. And at the time, that's kind of what attracted me. Also organic materials combined with metal. So, like, wood and gold, like, these things were, very inspiring for me. And they still are, but now I create pieces that are fun. I like to think of them as fun. They're big, but in a fun way. And maybe if you looked at it, you would think, oh, that's not so big. But in my mind, it's chunky. Like, when I think of a piece of gold, you know, gold typically is not very chunky because of the weight and because of the price. And so you usually find gold in more delicate pieces. But I like fun, chunky pieces, so I'm trying to figure out ways to create the size and dimension that I want in gold, and so that's what appeals to me more. Like, still kind of keeping a simple design, but using materials that I love and creating them in ways that are wearable. Also, because gold is so heavy, sometimes if you're making pieces that are big in gold, it's just too heavy, like for your ears, for example, or your hands. And so just trying to understand how to create lighter pieces that are still, like, solid gold to me. Like, I prefer solid gold than gold-plated pieces, for example. So just understanding how to make the things that I want in the volume and size that I want. So.
Tell me about a project that you are most proud of. Because I know we all have, like, at least that one where – or maybe it was, like, even early on, it was like, oh, my God, I, like, was able to finish this – one thing, you know, that took me forever to figure out. Or
yeah, I think the project for me was my graduation project. So I went to a jewelry school in Florence called Alchemia Contemporary Jewelry Design, and they offer some bachelor's programs. I really wanted the master's at that point. You know, I was already a lawyer, so I just felt like, well, I might as well just get an MFA while I'm here since I'm not leaving. And so for my graduation project, I was working with wood because they encourage you to work with materials that you probably won't work with as a designer, because it's like really your chance to explore a material and do something different that you likely won't do again, right? And so with wood, I had created created a bunch of different little contraptions in my house to steam it, because wood is, you know, maybe even more difficult to work with than metal because it's hard.
I would imagine.
Can't, unless you know how to like carve it and do all things with it. It's not like you could just bend it into like a bracelet, for example, or a necklace. Like, it just doesn't work that way. So you have to learn how to cut the wood properly, how to soften it and steam it to get it to bend the way you want it to, how to ensure that it's going to hold that shape. Texture is really a big thing for me. I'm a texture girl. And so for cute little babies going in the garden. And so for texture, I really wanted to see the texture of the wood, not so much the grain, because I feel like, well, it is the grain, right? But I wanted to do more with the grain. I wanted to lift it up a bit so that it was more obvious and tactile in some way. And so I had to buy a sand machine. Like, I bought so much equipment for this wood for this project. I created this whole like steaming thing out of wood, to steam the wood to get it to soften and turn. I was like cutting really thin pieces of the wood, and then sandblasting it really hard to push through the soft parts of the wood so that it created this waffle-like material. And then was able to bend it. And then I learned different ways to color the wood so that I could either get like a, you know, there's ways to bleach wood so it becomes really white and make it really dark. So that, I think, was my favorite project in terms of just exploring a material and figuring out ways to take it from just a block of wood to something very beautiful and elegant. So I was very pleased with that. And actually, I still have some pieces in the Netherlands. Where are you? You're in Belgium.
I'm in Belgium. Hey, the Netherlands isn't that far.
Yeah, because some of my pieces are still at Marseille Gallery in the Netherlands. She's a huge contemporary jewelry art collector. There it is. In the Netherlands. She's based in the Netherlands. She's probably has the largest collection. And so she often, for the schools that have programs, she will go around throughout the year and select pieces from graduates from the work that she likes, and will keep their pieces and will sell them. If they don't sell, they're still at the gallery. She has so many pieces. But I gave her a few pieces because she really did love the. I did some necklaces for her, just for her, and had some bracelets. So that I think, yes, was my prize experience.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so good. You'll have to send me the info her gallery. I'd love to see it.
I will. I will. And ask for Ania. I mean, this was I don't even remember what year I finished. 2017 maybe. So yeah. She's had a couple of pieces since then. And like I said, she has so many. So be sure you go and ask for my pieces.
Ania.
Oh, Ania. Oh, okay. So pull them out. I may be calling them back soon just because, you know, I'm not there. I'm not in Europe right now. I'm in the States. And
right.
They're like your pieces become your children in many ways. And it's like, I don't know I like my children living all the way in Europe. And I'm back in the States. I want my kids closer to me. So we'll see. But they'll stay there for a little while just because she's Marseille and she's, you know, well, world famous. It's nice to have a few pieces in her gallery, in her space. So.
Yeah. So are you planning on, are you staying in the States? I know that you say you go kind of back and forth periodically.
I do. Right now it's a back and forth thing. You know, I came back mainly for money because the life of an artist, will always be a difficult one.
Yep.
In terms of like basic things like eating and shelter.
Pretty much like every person I've talked to on this podcast, that's it. It's like, the money part, you know.
The money part always hits you. And I was fortunate because, you know, I was practicing law before. So I had, I had money saved up. And also the government helped fund my education there because I was a JAG officer. So I got the GI Bill. And that's how I was able to pay for school. And they paid for, you know, my rent or whatever. I got a stipend every month. So for 4 years, this was great. But then after that,
that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. For the next 6 years, I was on my own. This was really coming out of pulling out of my savings, working here and there, but not enough to really sustain myself. So finally I said, you know, I have to go back home. I have to go back and do the work that, you know, I love law. I went into law for a reason. I would love to just make jewelry the rest of my life, but I can't say myself completely off of that at the moment. Right now I am back in the States just trying to kind of like rebuild, you know, my savings, but also just kind of rebuild my, my career, because I do feel like there, especially since COVID, there are more opportunities to work abroad.
And I
feel like once you have a little taste of being an expat and living somewhere, it's you can't go back, right?
Yeah,
Kayla, it's hard. Look at where you are. You can't go back.
Right.
You come back to the States and your mind is like, I'm only going to be here for a little while. I'm not staying here.
Yeah.
I want everybody to know
that. That's why I was asking. That's definitely why I was asking. Yeah. I was back for a couple of years and then here I am. I'm in Belgium. So,
right,
you know.
Right. Yeah. It's never a permanent thing. And I think because once you open your mind to like living in a new place and learning a new language and like doing all the things you need to do to live in another country, you can never go back to just being, you know, the good American, right? Like, I'll stay here forever and love my country.
Yeah.
You know, America's great, but there's so many other places that I could be. And I know that I can do it because I've already done it. And I will likely go back to Italy because, you know, my heart is there. So this is a temporary thing. I just need to figure out how to create that new opportunity for me to go back. And also while I'm here, I'm still trying to figure out how to create that opportunity for me to bring my jewelry practice here with me. I have a lot of my tools and everything, but, you know, the costs are a lot higher here. And so even just finding the right space, because it's not just beading things together. Like, I need real equipment.
Right.
I need a space to put it in. And so that becomes a thing. But this is not permanent. I'm not going to be here forever. And this I know for sure. So, I'll be returning at some point. I just don't know when.
Yeah. Well, and you like briefly kind of talked about this in the beginning, but I like that you're making a point to say, like, for example, like the jewelry making you're doing, it's not just the like beating, which that's fine. Like, whoever does that, that's great.
Absolutely.
Like, that's an amazing passion to have.
Absolutely.
I'm not discrediting that. But like with you,
not
you're
at
like
all.
Actually making like the banding and
process.
Like the soldering and
absolutely, it's a completely different process. And yes, not I'm not knocking that at all. I mean, I it would be great if I could do all the things that I love at home, and people who do like beading and this type of work make really beautiful pieces as well too. I mean, we've had some designers who have brought that technique to our school and have tried to, you know, pull those two together, but there's a lot of beautiful work out there. It's just that the type of work I do, it's not that simple, and I do need a fire, like serious fire. I need a lot of loud equipment, hammers banging, and this
bring
is not
me a torch,
right? Exactly, this is not something you can do in your kitchen. Although some people do. It's not something you should do in your kitchen. I should say that. So,
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Well, are there any specific designers that you could like share with our listeners that have inspired you that like maybe they could also check out?
There are so many. I think that, and it's really interesting because I don't know that. So there is Lean. I'm afraid of mispronouncing names, but I believe it's Lean Heine or Heine, H-E-Y-N-E, beautiful designs. And when I look at those designs, they really capture a lot of what I try to create in my own work. There's the use of gold often, but there's a tension that's applied in how the gold kind of holds the stones. And I'm so fascinated by their work. And also, there is a woman here in LA, Harwell Godfrey, I believe, is her. She uses her last name, Harwell Godfrey. And I'll have to double check that, Kayla. But her pieces are really magical because they have like some elements of like Aztec design, but also very current pieces. So it's like a combination of very indigenous art. You can see indigenous art in her work, but also it looks very contemporary and very now in many ways. And I really love her combination of technique and design there. There are also people who I've worked with through my school, Alchemia, that I really love their work. I wish I was better prepared because there are a list of people. I'm just thinking all the people in my head. Lavinia Rossetti, I worked with her at Alchemia, but I really love her pieces because she does a lot of connection pieces, if that makes sense. So a lot of her pieces are just repetitive elements over and over again, but she'll make like really beautiful necklaces with just like the same core pieces in her work. And I really love that aspect of her designs. Those are like a few of many. But I'll have to share a list of them maybe separate from this with just some of the places where you can find some of their designs. Yes. And Fabiana Godano, Fabiana Godano is the woman who kind of opened up this world to me. What I really love about her pieces is that she uses plastic, recycled plastic, and transforms it into ways that like you, when you look at it, it's mesmerizing. Like it's so light and beautiful, the colors that she uses, and that's really become her thing. And when I met her, I think she was just exploring that material. And now she's just elevated to a place where I really admire the work that she does. And then Babette, I was going to mess up her last name, even though she's one of my dearest friends. I'm not going to say it. Dawn Bun, she's German. She's great. I love her. Her work is very, it's very geometric, but also there's dimension there. And she's very, very meticulous in her work. And I love her art. It's just amazing to me. So, yes. Babette Van Don Hanyi. Babette, don't hurt me. Don't kill me, Babette. But Van Don Hanyi.
We still love you. Guess what? It's that time again. Time to pause for a moment and listen to a special message from our incredible sponsor. Divinely selected places have secrets and mysteries within them that cannot be explained. Manifesting as hauntings, spectral entities, and supernatural energies, and are all found around the world in the most obscure corners. Unveil the best-kept secrets of the world with Mysterious Adventures Tours. Immerse yourself in the mystical explorations of curated travel experiences, handpicked by passionate ambassadors and guides. Brace yourself for an unforgettable journey that promises to carve out memories like no other. Satisfy your wanderlust by visiting mysteriousadventurestours.com to learn more about their future tours. It's time to tour the mystery and embark on an enigmatic odyssey that will leave you spellbound. So when you were studying, or just in general, like kind of working on your craft, has there been like something that has you've always like really enjoyed? How am I trying to say this? Like, for example, I met a jewelry maker who does very similar what you do. Like, she does like her own casting and stuff like that. And she was brought up Native American, like from that. And so obviously that influences her, her jewelry, but also when she spent time in Venice, Venice is her favorite city. And so that obviously being there and being in like that whole Renaissance of Venice inspired a lot of her jewelry that has come out, and she kind of intertwines the both, which is really cool. So is there like a certain kind of time period or, you know, like area, you know, like, I don't know, like Indian or, you know what I'm saying? Like where I'm trying to get at, where it's like, is there a specific kind of cultural thing that kind of you find really cool in regards to jewelry, like that you've seen, like influence?
That's influenced in my jewelry right now. I don't.
Or just in general, like for not necessarily your jewelry, but just like for you in general, like.
Yes, I hear you. I would say that like the Baroque period, because there's something about like this kind of flash and like just like over the topness that I really love about jewelry. So it's interesting. I don't know that anybody would ever look at my jewelry and think that, but that is definitely a lot of where I draw my inspiration from. And also just kind of like this era of royalty. Because there's just something lush about it that really inspires me. And so this collection that I've done recently, gold and onyx, has like some elements of this, like these, I don't know if you can even see these. I'll have to maybe send you pictures of them. It's kind of like, you know what I could do? Like send you pictures of them and then also send you the photos of the things that inspired me to make them. But it really does come from that. Like this period of just like, and it's harder to see where my camera is right now. Like this is probably not the best one. Maybe this one is better because it has like, it's onyx, right? So it's like this dark jewelry that they used to wear. Not onyx, jet was jewelry that they used to wear a lot in a certain period of time, but like these cuts, laid out in just a very simple gold base, but so there's a little bit of flash and flare on the top, but then it also looks very simple, but then the shape of the stone is also very unusual, so it's like a balance of things, you know, it's simple and not simple at the same time, it's flashy and not, like the stone itself is highly polished, but the gold is matte, so it's like a flat metal. It's not shiny. And I really love matte gold, but with a very shiny stone. So there's contrast all around. And even the rim, the outside of the stone is shiny, where you can't see it as much. I should have polished it before I left. But the rest of the gold is matte all around. So it's kind of playing on these elements. That does come from a certain period. So I also really enjoy going to museums and looking at, and especially in Italy, you see a lot of the Etruscan art from so many centuries ago, and just kind of understanding the shapes and forms that they used. And that's something that they really, that we learned in school too. You know, like there's so many places to source ideas. And nothing is new. That's something that I learned in school. Like everybody's done something before. You're just recreating it and putting your own voice to it in some way.
Oh, I love that.
So that's really, that's something that's inspiring because you never really want to copy anybody else's work. But the truth is most things have already been done before. So how do you make yours unique, and how do you build off of history, of how do you take the work of the masters, I guess, and create your own little version of it. So,
yeah, exactly. And that is such a common problem for artists, right? Because it is, it's like, we're inspired by something, definitely, but you're right. It's absolutely. Like, how can we be more authentic with that? Like, with ourselves and with what we're creating.
Exactly. Yeah.
So this is a question I like to ask at the end of the interview, because it's important for people listening out there. What would be some advice or inspiration regarding picking up like a hobby or tapping into like a passion project? Like what could you say to somebody who's kind of, maybe they're in their office, right? They're in their office and they've just had a breakdown, or, you know, they've had a bad day, and having kind of that moment of maybe I should do something else with my life. You know, like what kind of advice could you give someone with that? Even if it's just picking up a hobby, it's not saying you have to change your career by any means, but, you know, doing something that you're passionate about, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important to remember that, like, I think we mentioned this earlier, that everything kind of happens for a reason, or the way that it was supposed to. In some way, sometimes I think we get so fixated on trying to create something that we believe is meant to be for us, and when it doesn't work, we take that as a sign of failure. But understanding that, you know, life really presents certain opportunities, and sometimes you don't recognize the significance of those until much later in life. Right? Like how one thing may lead to another. It's not like I left my job thinking I'm going to go make jewelry, because I didn't even know that I would enjoy making jewelry at the time. Sometimes you just have to kind of listen to what is happening inside, right? As opposed to thinking externally about what might make you happy. In that moment of my life, I knew that the thing that would make me happy was just to get away, was just to travel and explore things that I had never done before. I had no idea that I was creating, you know, a journey or starting. It was like the first step of many to lead me down a path of finding something that I really enjoy doing. So not being too hard on yourself when you thought that something is, you know, at the time, interestingly, I thought I would go into culinary art or into culinary school, because I really liked cooking and thought this is what I should do with my life. And at the time I had applied for culinary school and didn't get accepted and was really upset about, oh, why am I going to culinary school? And then after, you know, I kept traveling and everything and fell into jewelry, I applied to jewelry school and it worked out. Like, it just happened. And so sometimes it's just kind of believing in nature, the nature of realization, like just creating your own reality, and understanding that creative visualization sometimes is a process that doesn't necessarily happen immediately, but is one step in a series of steps that will finally lead you to what makes you happy. And that being said, you know, I love jewelry right now. I don't know that, you know, if you talk to me in 10 more years, I may be doing something completely different. And it may be that jewelry led me to that path. So just not getting too stuck on one thing and thinking that one thing, that one thing is the thing that's going to save you, or that's the thing that you need to do for the rest of your life. It could just be one part of a journey, one step in a series of steps that gets you to where you need to be.
Exactly. And just being open to that, open to receiving that, right? Because if you're completely closed off, you could, you can completely miss it. So love that.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, is there anything else on your end that you can think of that you would like to share with people, with kind of like what you're working on, or kind of your background?
Tenacity is important. and it's something that, you know, I constantly have to remind myself of. There are definitely moments when I kind of fall back into a little bit of a funk, because I feel like, oh, wow, you know, I've done so much and now here I am back doing the things that I thought that I didn't really enjoy doing. But I don't get too stuck in that moment, because at the end of the day, I actually do really, there are things that I do really enjoy about law. So trying not to be too hard on myself, I think is the best advice. Just try not to be too hard on yourself. And then allowing that to lead you. My projects right now are to get myself situated so that I can start working on other projects, right? So that's really where I'm putting most of my energy. I have so many ideas creatively about what I want to do with my jewelry work, but I can't get there until I've found the right space to do it in. So it's all a part of that process, right? It's the mental aspect of it. It's the not getting too caught up in the moment. And I'm still connected to so many of my jewelry friends who are experiencing the same things, like who've had to return to work, and you know, you get stuck back in that routine. And then breaking out of that and saying, okay, I've been here before. Now I know how to get out of it, and I will. But creating those opportunities to get you to the next place. But before I can even really start thinking about the actual work, there are all these things that kind of lead me there. So my work right now is figuring out how to create that space for myself here in LA, and then I can start really getting back into my jewelry practice, which, you know, jewelry is the one thing I can see myself doing until the day I die. Like if I'm 99, I can see myself hammering jewelry. I do not see myself practicing law at 99. You know what I mean? Like, it's the one thing I will take with me to the grave. So that, and that's the other thing, like knowing that it's always going to be a part of who I am. You know, just it's a little more freeing when I think of it that way. There's no timeline or deadline on it, but everything that I do is a part of the process and getting back to the bench, ultimately.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I'm definitely really excited to kind of keep up with you and see where your journey takes you, because it, again, you just have had such an interesting journeys, plural. So it's really cool just to see now catching up where you are, and I'm excited to see, you know, in a couple of years kind of where that's taken
where
you.
It goes and, absolutely
maybe, and it will take you over here to Belgium or the Netherlands again.
That's what I was gonna say, and how that eventually brings us back to the same place again, because you know, that's the other thing.
I would love it.
You meet all these people in your life, you connect with so many people, and you don't lose that connection, right? We're here. We are. How many years later?
Exactly.
And it's like, how do you like recreate those moments again? And it's a life journey now. I have no regrets about it, and I will continue to be this person for the rest of my life. So, yes,
we will find same. I'm not changing now.
too late.
Exactly. Here I am. Well, yes. If you, when you do come back to Florence, let me know. Because sometime, you know, hopefully we can sync up. Because obviously, flying to Italy for me is not that far. No. So I can come visit.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep you posted. I will be there. I'll be there in December. You know, the one thing, Kayla, after you left, that I always remembered, like, how come I didn't go on her haunted tours? I've been dying to like do these haunted tours, and every year I'm like, man, especially around Halloween, I'm like, I really wish I had Kayla's haunted tours. So you've got to come back, and we got to do the haunted tour together. How about that?
It doesn't, no matter what, it could be December during Christmas, like I'll come and we'll do a haunted tour through Florence.
Yes, amazing. Yes. I would love that.
I gotta make sure it's like super epic then, because you've been waiting for like 10 years.
A long time. And I remember some of the stories you would tell me, and so I would share those with some people, but now I just don't even really remember them anymore. I do remember something about, what was the one by Piazza Santissima, oh my goodness, where the children's hospital is.
Yes,
and there was like the window.
Yes, the window.
The window story. Oh my gosh, so good. So yes, we are going to meet up and do that together. Well, thank you so much. This has been so much fun.
Oh, thank you. And seriously, I wish you all the best with what you're pursuing and working on. And I know that you're going to figure it out. It's going to come to you. You've already been super open with your intuition about that so far.
Yeah.
So I have no doubt that you'll be guided. And I can't wait to see some of your work. So definitely send me pictures. I'm going to put it in your show description for the podcast, and then people can actually like take a look at like some of the work that you've done.
Oh, cool. So. Cool. Amazing. Yeah, and I'm really excited to see where this is going. So I know that I'm following you on Instagram. Are you on like a podcast? Channel.
Yeah, I'm on Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, super.
Yeah, all the things.
I'm gonna probably follow there. Yeah, I'm so excited. Yeah, for you.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Well, you know, it's been, I have also just come across so many unique and inspiring people over my years of doing design and art, you being one of them. And everybody just has such an incredible story to tell with like how they got to where they are. And a lot of them have kind of broken free from that 9-to-5 and really decided to pursue whatever it is, creating their own business or just really going after their hobby. And so I just wanted to really inspire people just to, not that you have to quit your job, but just find something that can be your outlet that you can just let your creativity flow and whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be art. You know, I always bring this up, but like it could literally be pickleball or a sport. Like it doesn't have to be anything like super artsy, but just have something, because I think that's so important, so crucial. Again, going back to authenticity, right? Being, you know,
absolutely, if you are. absolutely agreed. Yes, well, we will be in touch. I'll follow up with all the things that I mentioned, but we'll be in touch again. I'll let you know when I'm back in Florence or on my way to Florence or when I'm planning to be in Florence. How about that?
All right, awesome. Thank you so much, right. Inia.
You're welcome. Thanks, Kayla. Take care.
This podcast is brought to you by MindJunk Creative, a creative agency that creates brands and experiences rooted in visual storytelling. By exploring your MindJunk, MindJunk Creative is able to tap in and explore all of your wild ideas that you may have viewed as throwaways and use them to create engaging stories and experiences for your brands. What's your story? Go to mindjunkcreative.com and follow them on Instagram at itsmindjunk. Shout out to the incredible Inia for being an extraordinary guest on my podcast. I'm seriously pumped that you could join me and share your mind-blowing story. So thank you, Inia. It was an absolute blast catching up with you. And let's not forget about that epic ghost tour we're planning in Florence. Don't worry, I'm going to go and we're totally going to take this tour. Don't forget to click those links in the episode description and show notes on our awesome website, creativejunkpodcast.com, so you can follow Inia on social media and check out her website. And make sure to keep coming back to all of the latest updates from the super talented guests on Creative Junk. Trust me, you don't want to miss out. If you haven't subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? Find me on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or any of your go-to platforms. And leave me a review and share it with your friends. I'll be forever grateful. Also, if you have any thoughts on today's episode or must-hear stories, hit me up at hello@creativejunkpodcast.com. You know that I love hearing from you all. Until next time, catch you later, folks. Did you love this episode? Well, let's continue the chatter on Instagram and Facebook. We can dish about the latest interview and catch up on all things, well, creative. Plus, check out creativejunkpodcast.com for show notes and other juicy resources to satisfy your creative cravings. Don't miss out on the fun, and hey, thank you for listening.